I heard it announced that next Thursday starts Thundering Thursdays, so I don't know what he was saying about me. You know, I'm kind of feeling bad tonight, so I thought I'd put on my thunder voice tonight, but it's not quite there, you know. So, anyway, it is good to see most of the church here still. I didn't know how many were going to be gone tonight. You know, sometimes when there's big trips going on like this, I think it's planned. They schedule me to preach here, you know, but I'm teasing. But I did hear about an old simple farmer who went several miles through the freezing snow to his local and very remote chapel for Sunday service. He finally shows up, and he's the only person there aside from a young preacher. "I'm not sure it's worth proceeding with the service," said the preacher. "Might we do better to go back to our warm homes and a hot drink?" And kind of trying to get his audience of one to agree with him. He said, well, the farmer said, "Well, I'm just a simple old farmer. But when I go to feed my cows, if only one shows up, I sure don't leave it hungry." So the clergyman, the young preacher said, "Well, I better get with it then." You know, he's kind of ashamed of himself. He had even brought it up. So he delivered the service. Bells and whistles, hymns and readings lasted a good couple of hours. Finally finished proudly at the end with a fresh observation that no matter how small the need, there's a duty to preach the word. And he thanked the old farmer for the lesson that he had learned. Well, finally the old man says, "Well, I'm just a simple farmer, but when I go to feed my herd and only one cow shows up, I sure don't feed it the entire load." So, since there's more than one here tonight, you're going to get the whole load, the whole thing. But 2 Timothy chapter number 2, just actually before I start, let me just say I was with the ensemble last few weeks, and we were in a number of really good churches, mostly graduates of ours, but others even that aren't. But out in Idaho, all the way to Seattle, Washington, long drive out that way. Pastor Andy Teasdale, just north of Seattle a little bit. Boy, we think we have it bad. You know, I went into Menards today, and I said, "I am not wearing my mask. I'm going to get through." And lo and behold, they're not requiring masks anymore. So I was happy about that. But out there on the West Coast, you pretty much you put on a mask, you know, about everywhere you go. But these graduates of ours, it's really exciting, and the others that we're with as well. Good churches. Seeing revival, seeing lots of souls saved. One church we're in, literally in the last year, has bought a building, doubled the size of the crowd of the church, more than doubled, and just seeing real revival. It's been really exciting. So thank you to those of you who prayed for us in the ensemble. If you saw any pictures, one of the perks, you know, you get to see the redwoods and the ocean, all those beautiful things out that way. But it certainly was a very, very productive trip. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1, I'm sorry, 21, verse number 21. "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work." I want to preach a message tonight entitled, "Meat for the Master's Use." Let's pray as we get started. Thank you, Lord, for this time where we can come to church, we can hear your word preached. And Lord, even as I've looked at this and studied this and applied it to myself, Lord, I thank you, God, that you've given us a church where we can work for you. And I pray, God, that you would allow us tonight to receive a challenge and a blessing. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, look at the idea that God has given us, all of us, an important responsibility, and that is to work in this church. And every one of us, it's expected, God expects of us, that we are meet and prepared for his use, for him to use. And as I thought of that... I was in Israel about a year and a half ago, and we went to the city of Bethlehem. And one of the the stores there. I found out later I shouldn't have bought it there because it was much more expensive. But it did come from Bethlehem. I guess that's what you get to brag about, you know. But this is a piece of pottery that very much resembles, a pot that very much resembles ancient Phoenician pottery. And supposedly there's a lot of similarity to this as far as the streaking and the coloring and so on. Beautiful pot, very expensive. So when we bought this, we didn't buy this with the intent of carrying water to feed the, or to water the plants on the back deck of my house. We bought this not to put in the dishwasher. We bought this not to use on a regular basis. We bought this, of course, to sit on a mantle and to look pretty. Right? So this pot is very beautiful, very special, very expensive. The whole night I'm afraid I'm going to drop this thing and break it, and you know, and everybody's going to see it. But anyway, so this very expensive, very special, if you will, expensive for a pot anyway. But it's made to look at. It's made to sit on a shelf, and so it has inherent values. I thought about this. You know, just the fact of what it's made and where it's made, its maker, that alone gives it value. It has inherent value in it. So, but this is not something that I would use on a regular basis. Here's another one. My wife before church said, "Why is this out? Which one of the kids set this on the table?" It was me. This is a, I don't know, I'm guessing it's Pyrex. I'm guessing a Menard special. Not very expensive. Okay? Comes with a nice plastic lid. You can get them much fancier than this. But I thought about actually filling this with spaghetti or noodles or something. This is a pot that you use on a regular basis. And as the bottom of it doesn't say anything about not being dishwasher safe, goes through a lot of things, in dishwasher, microwave. This thing gets used a lot. It doesn't have a whole lot of inherent value, but it has a lot of practical value. And as I thought about that, the other pot, I'm not going to pull it out again, that kind of resembles our lives in some ways that, you know, God, the maker of man, he has, because he made us, there's inherent value. Because of how he made us and the materials that he used to make us, all of those things give man an inherent value. But this is really the kind of vase or vessel that we should be, is more so a practical vessel. A vessel that can get used for lots of things. Sometimes our work requires us to get dirty. Our work requires us to get, out where the people that aren't in church and people that are in the world, where we're around them and we're going to get the world rubbed off on us. And we're going to have to do some work to clean that up. So this is much more a practical vessel. And I think of the Christian life, that this is the kind of vessel that I think God wants us to be in our lives. Let's go back a couple of verses. Look at verse number 19. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver," like that nice pottery, "but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these that dishonor, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use." I think that every Christian, the Bible teaches that every Christian is to be meet in this house, in the house that's talked about, in this building, which I believe is the body of Christ, that we're to be meat for the master's use. The word meat there has the idea of being prepared for his use. And every one of us has things that we need to work on and prepare in our lives so that we can be useful in His work. Seems to me that every Christian, I think in some way, has a desire to be used by God. I don't think that a Christian, it should be in our nature as a Christian that we want God to use us. If God has truly, genuinely saved our souls from hell, that we would want Him in some way to use us. And so what does that mean? Some think that that just is a surface level type of thing. I remember talking to somebody a while back. I said, so, you know, how are you going to get involved in your church? And they said, well, I think I'm going to be a song leader on Wednesday nights. Well, that's good. It's nothing against Mr. Brock leading the singing. But that's just getting started. That's a good place to start. But being useful is more than just giving an offering, or more than just, again, nothing against the ushers. It's more than just the simple things that are done in this room. Being a vessel that God can use is being someone that God can use outside these walls. And I don't disagree that it's some things that are done here in this church. But mainly the work that's done is outside these walls. Look at the disciples. They were with Jesus, directly influenced by the Lord Jesus Christ. And He sent them, of course, out. Where was most of the work done? It was out on in the desert. It was out on the busiest streets. It was out where the sinners were. And that's a real challenge to me. You know, God wants us to be affecting the world that we're in. And if we're just serving the Lord and letting Him use us here, just that, then the work that should be done is absolutely not being done. Some people are satisfied with ministering only inside the church week after week without having a desire to take their ministry outside the walls of the church. And again, I say it's God's will for us to be useful, to be practical, to be serving. Serving God isn't necessarily a fun, exciting thing to do. It's a fulfilling thing to do. It's something that when we work for the Lord and we allow Him to use us, that God blesses us with that spiritual blessing. That blessing that we know that we did the right thing. You meet somebody and the Lord impresses on your heart to give a tract. And you do that. That's the kind of thing we're talking about. Being effective, being useful out there. The truth is that your life will never be fulfilling until you allow God to use you the way He wants to. Meet for the Master's use. Again, He wants to use us. Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible, and verse number 10, the Bible says that we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Yes, again, that's to one another, but it's also to the world. It's to those who are not a part of our group, per se. Spending our life working for the Lord allows us to have a successful, a successful life loved in the eyes of God, not necessarily in the eyes of the world. There's a satisfaction that comes with the abundant life serving the Lord. God wants to use us. Isn't that something? God wants to use us. He depends on us. The hands of the eternal Almighty God are somewhat dependent on us to give out the gospel, on us to reach out and to affect the world that we live in. He's a good Father who wants to give good things to us. And then we need to stop saying, well, this is my time, and then I have Saturday is God's time. That's what we're talking about. Where we're not segregating our lives into me time versus God time. It's all His time. Everything I do all week long is to be used of the Lord. So tonight I want to give you some ideas, several thoughts on how to be used of God in a great way. As I think of this, I teach a lot about the judges, and I love the stories of the judges. And you look at the faults of many of the judges. And the natural question is, why did God use them? Why did God use a person like Jephthah or a person like Samson? And certainly there's many other factors. But I would say on a very simple level, it's because they were available. They were available to be used. Your level of use, how much God can use you, is determined in large part on how much you're willing to give him. How much you're willing to give up to him. And if your life is reserved for yourself, you will not be used of God. You just won't. You'll be like that piece of pottery sitting on a shelf. And that's all the enjoyment that it gets, is being looked at. So let's look at several thoughts tonight on how to be used of the Lord. First of all, and I see this in a lot of places throughout Scripture, we'll look at a couple of these. The first thing I think is a very big key to being used of God is that you have a deep concern for sinners, a deep concern for the lost. It amazes me, I'm sure it does you too, if you stop and think about it. When Jesus was out traveling in his earthly time of his earthly ministry, he was constantly giving of himself to people who, you know, were poor and in poverty and had nothing to give back. He had a deep concern for the lost. John chapter 4 and the woman at the well, his disciples didn't even understand it. And Jesus yet had a deep concern for that woman who had been married 5 times and had all these problems and was afraid of what the others in town would think. That's why she was there in the middle of the day rather than early in the morning. And on, she had all these problems. But Jesus had concern for her and the blind and the lame and so on. Romans 5:8, the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were sinners, we're unlovely, we're unlovable, and he loved us anyway. He had a deep concern for the lost. The disciples wanted to send the multitudes away, and Jesus said, no, 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 don't send them away. Give ye them to eat. Give ye them. And again, a perfect picture, Jesus wanted to use those disciples to fulfill a great, or to accomplish a great miracle. All they were was vessels. All they were there to be used. And Jesus, not in a negative way either, Jesus was going to use them to accomplish a great miracle. Jesus is in the sinner business. He's in the saint business too, you know, but he is in the sinner. He's looking for the lost. Jesus went looking, gave the example. The shepherd went looking for the one. And again, the 99 were important. He put them in the fold first, but he went looking for the lost. Boy, Jesus was concerned about the sinners. He's in the sinner-saving business. If Jesus was here in physical ministry, he would be where, I believe very much, he would be where the lost are. He'd be in Gary, Indiana. He'd be in Portage, Indiana. He'd be out where the lost are. And church family, I encourage you, when you're out and working with the lost and trying to reach the lost, you're doing the work that Jesus would do. You're doing the work that Jesus would be doing. Jesus didn't sit where the religious people were, did he? He didn't stay in Jerusalem. I must stay at my Father's house. No, he said, I must be about my Father's business. See, he was out where the sinners were. A deep concern for sinners. You know the passage, Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Jesus there moved with compassion on those multitudes of people. It really starts, if we're going to be used of God, it starts with loving people. Giving of yourself to love people. Desiring to touch someone's life. That's how your life can be effective, can be used. Look, our lives are important as far as our jobs, our many other things. But what Jesus focuses on many times is sinners, the lost. And boy, this is a great way for us to be used of the Lord. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. He that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Boy, it's so easy to sit there and be critical one of another and see everybody else's faults. But when we stop and look at our own, we realize that we're about the same. Moses was meek, right? He saw others' faults, but he also knew that he himself was not too far different than they were. He always understood that. This is really the heart of ministry, I think, that we're thinking of the lost. We're thinking of the brethren. We're thinking of others. If a church ever forgets about reaching the lost, it will become religious, but dead. Dead. Not useful, not active. I've been in dead churches, and I'm sure you have as well. To me, one of the biggest signs of a dead church is there's no outreach. There's no reaching to the lost. Boy, when COVID was just getting started, boy, those are some hard weeks, and we're cooped up in the back parking lot over here in our cars and can't get out really and talk to people. That's a huge blessing that we have every Sunday of filling these classrooms around here with the lost. That's a huge opportunity that we have. Have a burden for them. It's easy to see the problems and the faults. It's much better to see the need. And that's what Jesus saw in people. So having a deep concern for sinners is certainly a huge part, I believe, of being used of God. And God wants to use, again, every one of us. He wants us to be a vessel. And guess what? Sometimes that'll take getting a little dirty. It takes some work. It takes some scrubbing. It takes, it takes a beating, if you will. And that's a part of being useful to God. Number two, another, I think, very important key in being used of the Lord is having quality time with the Lord. Quality time with God. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus, right before he begins his earthly ministry, he went out into the wilderness. And for 40 days and 40 nights, he communes with God. He also, at the end, he doesn't eat, and then at the end of it, he's tempted of the devil. He had very much a wilderness experience. And God allowed him to go through that before he went into the ministry, if you will. Of course, all of it was ministry, but this was a difficult time. What did he do? He got alone with God. And you see Jesus doing that on a regular basis. Before day, a great while before day, it says several times, Jesus was meeting with God, his Father. He cannot be used by God without spending quality time with God. The great passage in John chapter 15, Jesus said, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you." Sometimes we think, well, if I'm having my devotions, I'm abiding in Christ. Well, that's good. But then his words need to abide in us, dwell in us. So what does that mean? Throughout the day, his words are coming back. They're abiding in us. How can we give out unless we first receive it for ourselves? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, it's essential to abide in Christ. Success in religious activity doesn't constitute being used of God. Numbers don't constitute being used of God. Just because someone has a big following on TV, that doesn't mean that they're used of God. Being used of God is where God is accomplishing his work through you and through me. Being popular in religious circles certainly didn't impress Jesus. I don't think you recognize Jesus, right? Hanging out with the Pharisees. No. He was with Nicodemus, the Pharisee there by night, but witnessing to him. Jesus wasn't with the religious crowd. He rebuked the religious spirit, I think, more than anything, every time that he faced it. Quality time with God is so important if we're going to be used of God. Number three, I really think this is a very important part of it. Turn to Acts chapter 3, if you would. Acts chapter 3. If you've had a long day at work, now would be a good time to stretch a little bit and get your Bible moving again. Acts chapter 3 and verse number 12. When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people. By the way, they had just healed a lame man. And everybody is all excited. They're at the temple in Jerusalem. Peter has healed this man. Everybody's really excited. And then they run together to Peter and to John. And here's Peter's response to that. When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? Why are you amazed? Why are you surprised? As if we did it." You know, Peter, remember right before that, he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Why are you looking at me? Listen, here's the third thing. If we're going to be used of God, we have to have a desire to glorify God, to give all the credit where credit is due, a desire to glorify God. None of the things that happen that God uses us to accomplish, none of those things are to our credit. None of those. They're to God's credit. Give the glory where the glory is due. I believe this is a critical place for everyone who desires for God to use them. If not, you're going to be like Simon the sorcerer, right, in the book of Acts. He wanted to pay to be able to have this power. And thankfully, Paul rebuked him and said, "This is not for you." He was not a saved man. He wanted to buy this power for his own pride's sake. So if you desire to be used of God to gain prominence or status or popularity or financial success, your desire is then the wrong thing. Personal gain is not a part of being used of God. Every preacher has to be careful of that. That their desire doesn't become, I want God to use me so that I can be lifted up. Same thing with our ministries that we have, and our ministries are a great opportunity. So many ministries, I haven't gone through and counted recently, but man, so many ministries for our church and us and my family, for us to be a part of, for us to be used. For us to be a vessel in the hand of God that he can use us. You know, everything from going, well, I don't know if the nursing homes are open yet, but going into those nursing homes, there's no reward to be gained from that. Jolly 60s and on, there's no reward for that. Very rarely anyway, once in a while maybe, but very rarely. You're there and God uses you. Paul said he would glory in the cross. My glory, he said, is in the cross of Christ. Man, if there's anything for us to glory, it's not in this flesh. It's not in this flesh. It's only in him. The story is told of Charles Finney. He came to a certain town, and the first couple of nights of his revival services, he had very limited results. And he knew something was wrong. And so the next day he traveled out through the town, and everywhere he looked, he saw signs that promoted Charles Finney as the greatest evangelist in the world. And he quickly had somebody tear down all those signs, promoting himself. And as the story goes, they saw great revival soon after that. He knew it wasn't about him. And God was going to use him, but not because of him. He was going to use him. So let the glory be to God. That's a very important key, I believe, in God using us. Next, I've got two more points, and I'll be done right on time, I think. Next, we should desire spiritual gifts. Oh, boy. This could open a can of worms, but I'm not going to dig into the can of worms here tonight. But 1 Corinthians chapter 14, is very clear on why God gives spiritual gifts to the church members, to the individual parts of the body. And the reason he gives those gifts is for them to be used in the church. Again, useful. And again, I'm not going to go through all the gifts and figure them all out right here, but the gift of ministering, the gift of teaching, the gift of giving, and whatever that means and whoever that applies to, he gave gifts to the church for us to be using those gifts. And I personally believe that we ought to exercise, each of us should look inward and look upward and see, God, what gifts do you want me to exercise? I think we all should exercise in some way most of the gifts, but certain ones that God has given us a special opportunity to exercise those gifts. What does he want? He wants us to use them. What good is a tool that's not being used? What good is it if you have a little bit of preparation, you're a little bit meat, as the word was in 2 Timothy chapter 2, but you're not really ready and prepared for the master's use. You're not really effective. It's kind of like using a different tool than the object of what it was meant to be used for. You know, using the pliers to drive in a nail. God wants us to use the tools that he's given us, being meat for the master's use. James 4:8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. If you move toward him and you're spiritually exercising your spiritual gift, he'll draw nigh to you. He'll use you. He'll move you. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, he divides these gifts to every man severally as he will. I read one commentator that said, each member of the body, we don't own a gift. We operate within the gift. And I think that's very true, that I don't own a gift. I'm a teacher. I don't own a gift of teaching. I operate within the gift that God has given me. It's not mine. It's not mine to boast in myself. I'm only a vessel. I'm only a tool, if you will. He's operating through me. The Spirit of God can use my life in many ways as I give myself to him. Spiritual gifts. Lastly, Hebrews 11:6, I think our last key to allowing the Lord to use us is that we operate in faith. We operate in faith. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, stop and think about that verse again. He that cometh to God must believe. Okay, that's my responsibility. Everything else in the verse is really his responsibility. Think about that. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So he's the one who really fulfills the work. I just believe. My faith puts into action his action. So faith is not a confidence in myself. I'm not trusting myself in order to, I want God to use me and I'm going to make it happen. You're going to fail. You're going to stumble and you're going to fall and you're going to quit because you're finding that your confidence in man, it's not going to produce results. But being useful to God puts confidence in him. When you put your confidence in him, then he can accomplish something through you. It's not our ability, it's his power that accomplishes things that's needed to touch lives. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Most people are hindered because they don't feel that God can use them. Maybe you're here tonight, and I think this is a common way of thinking, that I have sin in my life so that God, he can't use me. Part of God's way of using you is to take you and to clean you up. He can clean you up first. Let him. Let him. He wants to use you. So, well, I'm a sinner. I have sin in my life. Then let him clean you up. That's part of it. That is part of the process of becoming meat for the master's use. Is God doing a work in your heart? And not only that, when God comes in and cleans us up, then he's got a vessel that he can shine up and he can magnify himself through that vessel. Some people think that they can't serve God, they can't be used of God because they themselves are inadequate. Oh, I'm just not able to do that. You don't know me. My personality is this or that. Again, it doesn't matter what our personality is. Jesus' disciples, they were quite the spectrum. Think about that, right? Peter with the big mouth and others. Everybody had their own personalities. Thomas, we know him. Everybody had their personalities. John, the beloved, he was just seemed a very, you know, good person. But they weren't all like that. So everybody had their personality. Jesus used every one of them. Every one of them. Listen, God wants to use you if you'll let him. If you'll let him, if you'll make yourself available. So we can't use the excuse, well, I have sin. Let's get rid of it. God wants to help you get rid of it. Well, I'm not able. That's not my personality. Again, none of those things matter. Operate in faith. Trust him to use you. And whether our personality is more of a, you know, we're content to be in the back of the crowd and not, that doesn't mean that God doesn't want to use you. Man, God wants you to be a part of this church. I know we have some guests here tonight, but as a whole, it's a church family. God wants you to be a part of this church. Jump in. Anybody can get some tracts and pass them out. Anybody can go to a young child's house and talk to a family and say, hey, you know, can I bring you some McDonald's ice cream? Right, Brother Dupre? Amen. Anybody can do that. Anybody can be a blessing. God can use you. So, and again, I understand the thinking because for many years, I was very timid about certain things. And I remember thinking, well, God can't use me. He can use other people who are much more flamboyant. No. He wants to use everybody. He has a plan to use every single one of us. All we have to do is be available. We have to be a tool in his hand that can accomplish something for the Lord. Every one of us, in closing, have the same amount of time. It's limited. I'm not saying we live the same amount of time. I'm saying we have right now the same amount of time. Every church, they don't have the same surroundings, the same area to live in. But every church has the same opportunities. And what I mean by that is they have opportunities to reach the lost. They have opportunities to help the saved. We all have very, in a lot of ways, we're very similar, is my point. God wants to use every one of us in a unique way. There are people that you can meet. There are people that you can touch. There are church members that you can befriend and help that nobody else can. There are lost that you can reach that nobody else can. There are things that you can do that others can't, is my point. Why don't you just be a tool? Ask God to make you a vessel in his hand. A vessel that he wants to use. A vessel that he can use. And God will use you. I'm convinced of it. God is looking for people to use. God's not looking for people to put on a shelf. He's looking for people that will make themselves available. Are you available? Young person, are you holding back? Oh, if I give in to this, you know, I'll probably become like one of those old guys in the church. They're always serving and working at work party. Well, it's a good life. It's a good life. Don't hold back. Don't make excuses. God wants to use you. He's looking to use you. Great example, the woman at the well. Man, all she did, when she saw Jesus for who he really was, Jesus used her to reach an entire village. God can use anybody. He can use me. He can use you. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to hold an invitation. If the Lord has spoken to you about an area that you need to surrender, you need to become more useful.